Okay, we last time, if you remember, the we went through the general klalim, general rules of what you're allowed to do for plants or whatever during Shemitah and what you're not allowed to do. Now we're going to go into more specifics. Most people here, I guess all people here, do not have commercial fields where most of us are not producing fruit or whatever, or grain. I think most of us, the most we have is decorative gardens. Gardens for the sake of decoration around the house, right? So most of the things that will be done are for the sake of beauty, not for the sake of getting fruit or vegetables or whatever, right? Just curious, what?
Plenty of fruit trees on the mushroom.
Yeah, okay, but I think most people put their time not in dealing with their fruit trees, but dealing with mowing their lawn and making sure their bushes are nice or whatever. And first of all, anybody here have vegetable patches or whatever where they raise vegetables? There are people in the Moshav who do that. I know people have asked me shilas about raising, I don't know if they eat the vegetables, but they at least they plan to have them grow. Nobody here is, I would imagine. People have gardens, though, that they worry about their flowers and their lawn and bushes or whatever. Yeah? Here? People have? Yeah? Okay. And we get the house plants. That's probably even more common. Right? Plants in the house. People have flower pots or flower pots outside the house. That's a separate thing. Okay, now we're talking about decorative gardens, which I assume is nogea to somebody people here. Okay, so he says like this, and we already went through some of this. You have the preparation before Shemitah in decorative gardens. First thing is you have trees, you have bushes, okay, that need to be pruned. Prune them before Shemitah, so you don't have to do it during Shemitah. In other words, you want to keep them nice shape or whatever, or that they don't get grow out of proportion. And also for certain trees, you have to prune them if you want them to produce fruit. I have an esrog tree that forgot that it's supposed to produce esrogin for some reason. So it's a nice tree, but there's nothing ever there. Except once before Pesach, there was some esrogin there. It got mixed up somehow.
They take from that one to
Rabin, right. Though. Right. So we're buying matzah for Sukkot. I spoke to Dalby. He is an expert. You know, the guy who, he is a big macher in esrogin. Big macher. In fact, when he was thinking of moving here, he came to speak to me or whatever, and before Sukkot he gave me the most beautiful esrog I ever saw in my life. That's not the reason he was accepted here. And I was really thinking of not taking it, but we had nothing to do. That esrog must have been worth $1,000. And so he's a big macher in esrogim. So I asked him, you know, I have a tree and it's supposed to be an esrog tree, and there was times. So he came to look at it, and he told me, first thing you have to do is cut it down and shape it or whatever, otherwise you'll never have esrog in there. If you shape it properly, he told me, because my wife waters it, so it's not that it needs water. I think it's maybe we drowned it or something. But he said that's not the thing. Not even fertilizer. He said if you shape the tree, he said there'll be enough esrog in there for the whole moshav. It's a great, good tree, he told me, so daven good, and I'll give you a esrogim from it also, b'li nether. Okay? But he said it's not kedai to shape it now, because Shemitah is going to come and you're not going to be able to continue. So I asked Avram Vega to do the dirty work, and he told him not to do it till right before Shemitah. And then it'll be, he said, by that time, I'm not going to have esrogim then for this year. But for next year, in Yirtzeh Hashem, after Shemitah, at least there'll be esrogim, hopefully, on that tree. So it's from that I learned that it's not only watering, fertilizing, or whatever, but you have to shape a tree also to induce it to get, besides pruning it and taking away you know, the bad branches or whatever. There's an idea that it should be a certain shape, which I don't understand, but I accept the fact that he knows what he's talking about. And it's a certain shape. The tree decides to give esrogim. If it's not a certain shape, then it takes revenge and does not give esrogim. Okay. So therefore, before Shemitah, if you have fruit trees or you have bushes that you want to, what's it called, that they should look nice, right? Our neighbors across, the Shapiros, so they have big bushes in front of their house, and they have a gardener who comes and prunes them. They're going to have to do that before Shemitah and not leave it to be done during Shemitah. That's what the first thing. Second thing is fertilizer. Okay? All fertilizer usually doesn't have to be done on a regular basis. He says for most decorative kinds of things, once a year is enough. So if you do it right before Shemitah, it should be enough. In addition, there is the idea of putting down fertilizer that is slow release, that it releases over the year. But there's a problem with that, and that is that some of that is activated by water. And therefore, when you water, what you have to water, you're activating this fertilizer, which you're not allowed to do, because it's not something that the plant would die without. So that becomes a problem during Shemitah, could be. So it's not a great idea to use. The slow-release fertilizer is good for people in commercial things. But for your own decorative garden, it's not really that important. The Chagithin told me that anyway, the waters come and wash it away, and you don't gain any, you waste a lot of money. Right?
Right.
Okay, so forget about getting slow-release fertilizer for your garden before Shemitah. It's basically a waste of money, and it's also a shaila could come up during Shemitah. But you should, if you do need, the things do need fertilizer, fertilize them before Shemitah, and that'll put into the soil whatever's needed for the entire year. Okay, also, you should make sure that your garden is clean. From weed it before Shemitah, right? Anything that would cause the things not to grow, whatever. Again, I'm talking to people here who lechora have these kind of gardens. It's not nogea really to me. Right? We don't have such a.
You have weeds?
We have weeds. We are the adarava. The decorative garden we have are weeds. That is the decoration. In any case, whatever. Okay, maybe someday we'll landscape our house. But at this point, anybody who passes by knows that this is absurd for me to be telling you this. It's not for me. But for anybody who has nice decorative gardens and wants to keep them that way, should weed them, take out rocks or whatever, and make it nice before Shemitah, so the things that would obstruct things from growing or whatever, which you'll have to do during Shemitah, shouldn't be done during Shemitah. Okay. And the last thing is hoeing. Okay. Now I'm not sure exactly why you hoe a garden, okay, but from what I see from what he speaks about, the ground cracks sometimes, and the crack could destroy the roots of the plants or whatever, and therefore it's a good idea to hoe around the things to keep the ground soft and not cracked, so the soil, the water, everything gets to the roots properly. That's what I deduce from what he says later, what the purpose of hoeing is. So if you hoe your garden, do it before Shemitah. Okay. Next, watering plants. Okay. We said already that there are two different shitas in what's, again, something that will have irreparable damage, significant irreparable damage, you can do during Shemitah, as long as it's not a Torah malacha. Okay? Like watering. Watering is not a Torah malacha, right? It's a tolda of Zriya. And toldos are only Rabbonin on Shemitah. Now, what is called irreparable damage? By trees that have fruit or whatever, irreparable damage is it won't produce the fruit. Or you'll have a significant loss of fruit or whatever. That's for sure irreparable damage. Or the plant will die. That's irreparable damage. There's a machlokas whether in things that are made for beauty, irreparable damage to the beauty of the thing, is that also called irreparable damage? It's not going to die. It just won't look nice. For example, you'll have a brown lawn. Okay? Most people like green lawns. That looks nice. The brown ones don't look nice. Even assuming that the grass won't die, okay, but it looks terrible. And the whole purpose of grass is to look nice, right? You're not doing it because you're raising it to pasture your cows or whatever. You're doing it because you want a nice lawn. So the Chazon Ish holds that's also called nezek, irreparable damage, a not nice lawn. Because you didn't do something that's awesome with the Rabbanon and it's irreparable, that the Chazon Ish holds you're allowed to do. But he holds, since there are opinions that say that that's not called damage. Damage means the thing will die or it won't produce fruit. But it won't be nice, it won't look nice, so what? So there are those that hold, therefore, that you can't do malachas to things that the only result of the malacha will be that it will look nice and not be irreparably damaged in its look, in its appearance. Lemaisa, where it's necessary and you really have a nice lawn and you put money into it or whatever and you don't want it to look terrible and be damaged and it won't look nice, you can rely on the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish himself says, Bal nefesh yachmer, a person wants to be machmer tovel of bracha. But we can follow the psak of the Chazon Ish, that if you have a decorative garden and not watering it or whatever will make it really look bad and it won't be repairable, right? Or it only be repairable with a lot of money or whatever, then you can do it. However, if during Shemitah, if you don't water your lawn in the summer, it's going to turn brown. But right after Shemitah, you water it and it'll come back to be green. That happens all the time, right? Then lechora, that's not irreparable damage, and that lechora you shouldn't be able to do.
Okay. What about the damage that that you'll make it difficult to take care of the lawn in the long term? I mean, for example, if you put down the sod with a type of grass that is so strong, it will keep out weeds. But if the grass grow weak, weeds will grow. And you won't be able to get them out afterwards. You'll always have to deal with the problem of weeds.
I will see. He's going to speak about watering grass specifically, and there's all different kinds of grass, and how much watering they need, and what the purpose of the watering is. We'll save that till he's going to go much into the detail with about four or five different kinds of grass. Okay. So wait for that. But the so how much you can water, you have to wait until the plant needs that water. It's obvious, it already showing signs of being thirsty. Then you can water it. Before that, not. Because before that, you're just making the plant thrive. You're not saving it from some damage. You don't have to wait till the damage comes. But you have to wait till it's, obvious that if you don't do it now, there's going to be damage. That's okay, things that you know not watering them will not cause them irreparable damage. I'll water them during Shemitah. Okay. When you have plants that need watering next to plants that don't need watering. And if you water the plant that needs the watering, you're also going to benefit the other one automatically. That's okay. However, you can't water a whole garden indiscriminately. You can't turn on the sprinklers right during Shemitah and water your whole garden because some of them need water, right? You have to do it selectively. So you can't have a sprinkler system or a tiftuf system that when you turn it on, it waters everything indiscriminately. You have to be able, dafka, to water discriminately. However, if it's impossible to do that, right? It would involve too much money, too much bother, or whatever, to water these things separately, in other words, to start disconnecting your whole sprinkler system or whatever, then there are heterim to do it, since if the majority of things need watering, and there's a minority that don't, there are heterim like that. But it's better to do it, again, we're talking about small gardens where it's possible to go outside and with a watering can or a hose and water things selectively, that's lechatchila what you have to do. Okay, he gives some answers over here when to water, but Lamaisa, what's it called, that I'm having a meeting with the gardener of the Moshav and Mimi on what Lamaisa, the whole roles are for Shemitah itself, so we'll be able, I think, I have to see this who this gardener is, but Lechora to be Somech on his opinion of when things, whatever, and if people have questions, they'll be able to ask this gardener, and I guess he'll come around, take a look, and say things need to be watered or doesn't need to be watered. Okay. It says you're allowed, maybe Chag, you tell me what it is. Mutter lahachin slacho sovi v'eitzim l'tzorech hashkoa. What is that? Slachos are, what's it called, are pans? What?
Maybe like the air on trees, order to like a compression on a tree.
Okay, and that's the way that you water it.
When you water it.
Okay, so you're allowed to. Those things are not avodas karka. You're not doing work on the field. You're putting something into the field. It's only with that you can water it. So you're allowed to make those things. I don't know if anybody has those things around the. They make a circle around the tree. And that the water.
Wait, something changing. You put in, or you move the dirt to make it.
I don't know.
You move the earth.
Okay. Mutter lahachin slachos sovi v'eitzim l'tzorech hashkoa. I guess because if you don't do that right
around the tree, you make the ground a little bit lower.
Right.
So when you put in the water, it'll sit right over there.
Okay. So that you're allowed to do, because if you don't do that, the watering won't help either. So we'll do that. Okay. Well, the next thing is grass, and he has four different kinds of grass, and what the damage could be if you don't water it. So that's part of your question.